This is Don White. I was identified as convener for the Pacifica National Board Audit Committee. It's Thursday, April 13th, a little after 4 p.m. Pacific time. And I'm calling the meeting to order and declaring that we do have a quorum for this meeting. I think I will once again call the roll. Mary Berg.
Here.
Mark Hernandez. Marnie Tattersall.
Here.
You know, I'm also going to give the affiliate. So that's Mary Berg, Berg of KPFA. Mark Hernandez is not here from KPFA. Marnie Tattersall is here from KPFA. Terry Goodman of KPFK.
Here.
Harrison Weil, KPFK.
Here.
Don White, KPFK. I'm here. Ken Freeland, KPFT.
Here.
Ted Weisgall, KPFT.
He's muted, maybe.
He may have been muted, but he's present.
Here.
Brian Swain, KPFT.
Here.
Lisa Davis, WBAI. Absent. Cheryl Griffin, WBAI. Absent. Bertold Reimers, WBAI.
Yeah.
And Mark Roberts, WPFW. Absent. Rob Robinson, WPFW. Absent. And Thomas Reffin, WPFW. He's also absent, but we do have a quorum. And I did issue a proposed agenda. The agenda, of course, is in the hands of this committee, so they can do with it as they wish. But I have a proposed agenda here for our meeting. First of all, agenda item one. All of you have this agenda in front of you?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's basically very straightforward.
I could find it with the date and time.
Yes, okay.
4:10 at 11:06 p.m., according to my browser.
Mr. Yes. Chair, this is
Yes,
Ted.
Go ahead, please.
I think for the benefit of anyone who's listening and for the future people who may listen to the tape of this on the stream, we ought to read aloud the agenda, and I'll be happy to do that if you don't want to do it yourself.
Yes, would you do that? Now, I have times, proposed times next to them now.
And then why don't you read it?
Maybe I should read it just so I can give the times, and if people will note the times. I want to remind the committee that we're trying to do this in under 2 hours, about 1 hour and 45 minutes. The stream needs to be given over to another meeting in 2 hours. Agenda item one, welcome, taking the role, self-introductions, approval of agenda, identifying a temporary secretary and temporary time for this meeting. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Number two, review of procedures regarding minutes, access to past minutes and committee documents. A member has asked for that. 6 minutes. Agenda item three,
wait,
brief overview.
Wait, point of information?
Go ahead, please.
Was I the individual? If so, we should identify who has special, who has put these on the agenda.
Would you repeat that? I'm sorry.
You said a member. I'm in the spirit of transparency, can you identify if you know who was the member that requested each of these things?
Well, let's see. Is Ted speaking?
Yeah.
You know, I think it was either Ted or Ken who wanted to know where minutes were posted and how members of this committee can access documents relating to audit and so on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ted? I definitely am concerned about that. I don't know if anyone else is, but I certainly am.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And we have 6 minutes for that. Three, brief overview and discussion of the mandate, duties, responsibilities, and goals of this committee. As I say, the committee can change this if they wish, but I thought that might be helpful for 12 minutes. Agenda item four, brief review of the auditor's report in Washington and the auditor's response to this committee's report there, 12 minutes. Number five is old business. Some issues pending from Director Rob Robinson. We might alter that in as much as he's absent. Discussion of earlier proposal by Donna Warren pertaining to local station audits and other old business. I gave that 20 minutes.
Point of information?
Go ahead, please.
What does other old business mean?
You know what? I'm going to rely on some veteran members of this committee. There could be other old business that veteran members will be able to insert there that I, as a new member, would not know about. Is it out of order to phrase it that way?
No, it's not.
Ken Freeland?
Yes, go ahead, please.
I think it's out of order to assign a time to something that's as indefinite as other old business. When there's something there, there's two issues there that actually are going to require some time. Well, of course, the Rob Robinson one may not, but the other one definitely will.
Okay,
so
okay.
I would suggest if you're going to apply times to these, that we divide the question there and assign times to the subparts so that we can assure that there's sufficient time for the individual items that have been identified there.
You know, I'm going to overrule that on the basis that we will assign 20 minutes and then I will entertain motions to extend if we need more time.
And point of information, please.
Go ahead, please.
KPFA. These are not times certain. These are not fixed. These are not orders of the day. These are suggested times, are they?
That is true.
Well,
that
when
is
you
true.
Don't need anything, then we're not approving the times. We're approving the items, and you have the suggested times.
And the suggested times.
Point of information?
Although, well, let me just respond to that. Although, if people will indulge here a bit and approve these as suggested times, then the chair will actually ask for extensions of times if we go over. We do have, this is a 1 hour, 45 minute agenda, and we have to relinquish the stream, if possible, in 2 hours.
Well,
so,
times is very time consuming on the telephone, so I would hope that we could have suggested times or some mechanism where we don't have to do that.
All right.
Okay, may I suggest something here?
One moment. I want to recognize the point of information first, and then I'll go to you, Bertold.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Well, again, I'd like to know what does it mean, then, to have a time on any of these items? What happens at the end of a time if we're still discussing an item? That's what I need to know.
Go ahead, Bertold. Go ahead.
Okay, what happens at the end of a discussion if we run out of time, there might be a motion to extend the time, and then if the motion to extend the time is approved by 2/3 for a specific amount of time, then we go on. And, obviously that motion reflects the general body's feeling that we need more time for this item. So I think that, you know, we are over kind of focusing on this time business here.
Point of order. That's no longer answering my question, so I appreciate if we could move on.
Well, we have to resolve this. Mary, as I understand it, you do not want these times to be approved along with the agenda. Is that right?
I wondered if there was some mechanism where we wouldn't have to keep voting to extend the time. If there none is apparent right now, I don't want to discuss it further. Maybe we can take it up when we get there. It's taking more time.
This is the problem I'm having.
It's taking too long.
That I'm actually going to ask the body to approve the agenda with the suggested times, and that if we go over that time, we will entertain motions to extend. As I say, this has been constructed as a 1 hour and 45 minute agenda. We know it will go to 2 hours, but at the present time, I'd like to move ahead, but the same problem exists with six, new business. Basically, new business can be presented. It probably will not be resolved tonight, but the committee will be noticed on new business, and that's agenda item 6, and I have 12 minutes there as well. Number 7 is nominations and elections of permanent committee chair and secretary and a process for that election, 15 minutes. 8 is regular schedule of PNB Audit Committee meetings. If we could take 10 minutes there to discuss a formula for when this committee meets. And then the last is review of tasks, next steps, concluding the meeting, 5 minutes. And then the issue before we go ahead, if the National Auditor does come on the line, Ross Wisdom, we need to have a process for whether or not we take a statement from him or have a question period for him and so on. So that
Hello,
would.
This is Ross Wisdom. I'm on the line.
You're on the line. Okay. May I make a proposal that under agenda item 4, a brief review of the auditor's report in Washington, D.C., agenda item 4, that Ross, we may have some questions for you there. It's the brief review of the report you made in Washington, D.C.
Move to amend.
Okay, I heard Mary, and then I think was the other one. Just mention your first name. Was it Ted?
Ken, move to amend.
Oh, Ken. All right. First to Mary. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I would like to move the times a little bit here for two things. One, I think Ross Wisdom's report should come immediately after we decide who's going to be taking the minutes and so forth.
All right.
In view of the time, rather than have him hang on the call. And then I think the last two items I'm sure we'll never get to, and I will be off the call before I know the regulars get the election of permanent. Items 7, 8, and 9 should move forward because at least one person, namely me, will not be, I'm sure.
Okay, could you make a concrete proposal then?
That's my proposal.
The proposal is to move agenda item
up to follow item 1.
4 follows 1.
Let's see, does that have... Yes. And then items 7, 8, and 9 would come after... Would come after what is now the item 3.
Okay, and then 7, 8, and 9 would come after when?
The existing item 3, which then would have become item 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or putting it another way, it will come after the new item number 4.
Okay.
Come after the auditor's report.
Okay. Now, may I ask, is there any objection to that proposed alteration of the agenda?
Ken Freeland?
Yes.
Make a secondary amendment to that. Maybe then I won't have to make my own amendment. And that is to move item number 5B. Which I assume when we talk about the earlier proposal by Donna Warren, that's the proposal for a local internal audit, right?
Yes.
That be taken prior to Mr. Wisdom's conversation with us, because I would like him to be apprised of what we're considering and to hear his feedback about it. So I would like to ask that 5B be moved immediately after I can't remember Mary's order here, but I just want to make sure that it happens prior to the brief review of the auditor's report and his interaction with us.
Point of order.
Yes, Bertold.
There hasn't been a motion to approve the agenda, so we can't amend that agenda until we have something on the table. So at this point, there's nothing to amend. You know, we still don't have an agenda that.
Okay,
Chair, may I respond to that, please?
Oh, okay,
the chair has actually moved to ask, he has already requested that this be approved. That's a motion. That's what we're now amending.
Yes, I'm going to consider my proposal of this agenda before the body, and the operative amendment or alteration is Mary Berg's, which I'll repeat before we vote. But before we do that, the question is, can we move 5B, the proposal by Donna Warren, can we move that up? I'm going to suggest that we move it up and have it kind of a part
That's a friendly amendment. I would accept that as long as Mr. Wisdom's here while we're discussing that. That's
okay. So the proposal now, if we can move to to approve this agenda, would be agenda item 1 as listed. But agenda item 2 will be a brief review of the auditor's report to Washington, D.C., immediately followed by 5B, discussion of the earlier proposal by Donna Warren, which we would like Mr. Wisdom to be here for. And then we would move to the agenda 7, 8, and 9, nominations and elections of permanent committee and so on. And then take the others in the appropriate order. Is there any objection to that agenda? Hearing none, I would like to declare that agenda approved and move to agenda item 1 and finish it up. Welcome. We did that. We took the roll. Now, does the body, would the body like to go around and do self-introductions very briefly and tell whether or not you're a returning member or a new member and tell your signal area, or is that necessary?
I think it's not necessary. I don't
know. It may not be necessary because I listed the signal. We've approved the agenda. Let's have a temporary secretary who can take minutes.
Don,
is there a volunteer?
Don, I'm not volunteering to take the minutes, but if you're a wolf, since you were asking for introductions, I have confirmed that I am indeed not on this committee. So I'd be happy to leave the call. I won't be voting on anything, but I think it's probably I'm still on the group list because I served on the committee last year. So I forgot that I wasn't still on it.
Okay,
now, the message, I just joined the call. So would you like me to leave the call?
Well, Carol, let me just ask the body. Inasmuch as Mark, Rob, or Thomas from your signal area, no one is on this call from WPFW. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's any objection from the body if Carol stays on the call without vote and is able to report to her reps after the call is over. Any objection to her remaining on the call for that purpose?
Terry would like to speak.
Go ahead.
I'd like to invite Carol to join the call as Secretary Pro Tem.
Oh, Bob, no, thank you. I was Secretary of the LSB last year, and I have my hands full. Thank you kindly, but I decline.
Terry, I thought you really liked Carol. I don't know where that came from. Okay, okay. Hearing no objections, Carol will remain on the call and report to her reps from that signal area. Mary, go ahead.
Yeah, I would volunteer to take the minutes up until the time I leave. I could get the rest off the phone call, I guess.
Mr. Chair?
All right, go ahead. Is that Ted?
Yeah, I'm willing to do it all the way through, but I would like Mary to take minutes as well so that we can have a backup just for the sake, especially what we've done up until now, anyone who has taken any minutes notes, and I can then...
All right.
Email them to the chair, and then you can send them out to everybody else.
Okay. Without objection, we'll ask Mary and Ted to take minutes, and they'll collaborate. Is there any objection to that plan? And hearing none, then we'll move right ahead. And may I ask for a volunteer time, a keeper? I will give you the time for the agenda.
Okay, Freeland, I'll volunteer to keep the time.
Thank you very much. Oh, great. All right. We're moving right ahead. Now, agenda item 2 now, as...
I have a point.
Oh, okay, go ahead, please.
The committee should invite onto the call Auditor Ross Wisdom and Ben Garcia of the National Finance Office, neither of whom are members of the committee.
That's good. May we do this way as convener, not chair, but I was asked to convene. I would like to welcome Ben Garcia from the National Office and Ross Wisdom, and without objection, welcome them to the call and thank them for being here. Is there any objection to those two individuals being on the call? Hearing
point
none?
Of information?
Go ahead, please.
Please explain the National Office person's role.
Ben, could you do that?
I've been on the committee. I was on the committee last time. I was invited to be on the committee as part of the National Office, and I just served to answer questions. If you have any questions that have to do with the audit, any questions that have to do with any kind of procedures that are going on within the stations.
Okay, that's
and
not my question. My question is, what is your role? What is your position at the National Office?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm the controller.
Thank you.
Oh,
okay, very good.
And so you're an employee of the Pacifica Foundation?
Correct. Staff.
Well, I would like to ask of the rest of the committee whether they consider that useful or not.
Who is that
individual on the call regarding auditing of Pacifica.
Who is
I think
speaking,
it's an important
please?
Question.
Who is
and is this Ted speaking?
This is Ken Freeland speaking. Yeah.
Ken.
Okay.
we want to take as little time as possible, so I think what I'm going to do, I hope you'll go along with this, I'm going to ask, is there an objection to Ben Garcia of the National Office, the controller, being on the committee? Any objection to that?
On the committee?
On the call.
Yes.
I'm sorry, on the call. I'm sorry,
no.
On the call. Is there an objection?
This is Ken Freeland. I still would like to know the role. I don't understand why he has been invited if he's part of the national staff, which would be part of what is being audited, why he's on the call. I don't understand this. I need to understand it before I can say whether I have an objection or not.
Okay, we're going to do this very quickly. The chair is going to consider this a consultant role. That is to say, the committee can move to Ben to direct questions to the national office and for clarifications and consulting. Is there, and on the basis that he's a consultant, is there any objection to Ben being on the call?
No objection.
Hearing no objections, then Ben, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And welcome, Ross. I'm especially glad to have Ross here, because at the meeting in Washington, D.C., he did make comments about not being closely linked to this committee and not having heard of meetings that had quorums and so on. So this is an especially good development, I think. So let's go to agenda item 2. And this is
order.
Yes, go ahead, please.
The committee, I don't think, accepted the Secretary Pro Tem without objection. We should do that.
I think they did.
Oh,
yeah, the Secretary was accepted.
I wrote that they did.
Okay. Yeah, I think they did.
Well, they would have if they hadn't.
I definitely would not impose such a role on anyone without the committee's approval. So my feeling is that it was approved. That we have two. One is a backup and one is a recorder for the full meeting. Okay, agenda item 2 is a brief, that is to say, it's a review of the auditor's report in Washington, D.C. I have 12 minutes. We may have to go over a bit. Ross, would you like to just briefly, not the details of the financial report and so on, but very briefly share with the committee the comments you made in Washington regarding your audit?
Hello,
is Ross on the call?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
This is Ross Wisdom. Can you hear me?
Softly, yes.
Softly? All right.
A little louder would be better if possible.
I think this is the best I can do. I hope it's good enough. Can you hear
good.
Me now?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. I do not have a copy of the minutes from the Pacifical National Board meeting in front of me. I'm just trying to access them on the web right now. But for my report at that meeting, I would suggest you go back to those minutes. I cannot recall exactly my report at this time. Generally, the audit went very well the last year. The staff did a very good job. I did not discover any types of problems with internal auditing procedures that would result in inaccurate financial statements, or that would require me to do special audit procedures because of problems with the internal accounting. I did discover inconsistencies. One station or one division would be doing proper allocations between the departments, and another station would not be doing allocations at all, and so we'd have to do those allocations after the fact by using estimates, which is acceptable, but it's better to have it done currently during the year. And I believe about halfway during the year, all of the payroll was being allocated on a current basis, and then a lot of allocations followed payroll. So I think as of now, I haven't done any recent audit work since the last audit, but I believe, and Ben could speak to this, I think the stations are more on board with doing allocations on a current basis and on a consistent basis. There is a policies and procedures manual that has been developed. There have been some revisions to it. I think Lonnie Hicks has primarily been involved with that. that's an area that needs some attention. That's a role that I could see the audit committee playing in terms of digesting the policies and procedures manual, working out any issues at the board level that need to be worked out at the board level, and then providing a monitoring supervisory capacity to how the network is in compliance with its own policies and procedures. And that was a comment that I made at the national board meeting that I thought would well serve the network as a whole. So forgive me for not being able to articulate in detail my report from last, I think it was January, but that's as much as I can remember at the right now. And I'm certainly available to respond to any questions anyone has about the auditing or the audit report and or the relationship with the audit committee and the outside auditor or the specific...
What's your email address, Rod?
Sorry?
What's your email address?
My email address is rwisdom, that's R-W-I-S-D-O-M, at kwllc.us.
This is Marnie, if I could make a comment on
Yes, please.
I'm just a little concerned that our paid auditor's email was just given out. The last thing I would hate to see is a lot of people contacting him on the company's dime and having to pay for him to answer emails. I think there should be some sort of channeling opportunity there.
Yes, absolutely.
As I have stated in previous conference calls with the audit committee, I do prefer to deal either on a conference call with the whole committee or with the committee chair. So if communications could be routed through the committee chair, and you could also route communications through the accounting staff.
Well, I think that's what we did last time. We had the chair field all the questions and was able to present it to the committee.
That seems like a very reasonable process, because we don't want individuals just bombarding. And I suppose, Ross, you're billing when you're dealing with questions coming from members of the Pacifica board or members of PNB committees. That's a professional a situation where you're billing at that point.
Yes, I do bill for my time. However, if I get a question from an individual that I think is it would not be appropriate for me to discuss on an individual level, then I'll simply send them an email back to have it be addressed at an audit committee meeting and then have the audit chair discuss it with me, or to go through, you know, regular channels with the either the accounting staff or the audit committee. I don't necessarily respond to an email, other than to say, please go through normal channels.
I have a question, but I don't want to pose it until I take questions from other members. But so, are there other comments or questions?
Well, the comment is, first of all, I apologize for having asked that question. I forgot we were online. The only reason why I asked that question is because I had Mr. His report with me. I could email it to him so that he could read it to us more specifically. And that's the only reason why I asked that question. The second thing I would like to speak to is the audit committee being in charge of policies and procedures, I think is extremely important, and the allocations also. And so I was glad that you mentioned that. One of the things that we did ask last year was an audit of the do-to form between national and local board, and I felt like there was some inconsistencies between WBAI and the national board, and there was a lack of transparency. We felt also, for example, I don't know if you guys are familiar with what's going on in WBAI, but I felt that there was some inappropriate discussion of who should have authorization to have access to bank account and stuff like that at BAI. And I think these things have to be very clearly documented, and I believe that the audit committee should really take that full-fledged. What I'm referring to specifically, Mr. Ross, is recently at BAI, there was something about PIN, having access to PIN numbers to get access to bank accounts.
Well, certainly you want to secure access to PIN numbers.
Yeah. And at BAI, that was a problem. So I support your two suggestions fully.
Terry on deck.
Terry.
Regarding the WAI PIN situation, I'd refer Bertolt to the audio of the recent PNB meeting in Los Angeles, where the WBAI GM addressed that issue. And regarding Mr. Wisdom's reference to a draft procedures manual in preparation, I'd like to try to get the committee members a copy of that draft from the National Finance Office.
So, now, is that the one that you distributed already?
Are you asking Terry?
Yeah.
No, I have no policies and procedures manuals for Pacifica at all.
Okay.
So I'm hoping Ben can at least say when he will have an answer as to when we might have that.
I thought that was distributed at the last meeting, the board meeting. Was that not in the group of papers that were given out?
I'm not a director, so I don't have access to what was distributed to directors.
Ben, are you referring to the thick personnel forms and organizational charts type?
No. This is
the
policies and procedures. I thought that was distributed to all the board members at the board meeting, the last one.
Okay, I will go through my papers.
Excuse me, this is Ted?
Yes.
Are we talking about the thing that Ernesto from Houston has in a draft form, or is this an existing policies and procedures manual?
Ben, can you answer that?
This is an existing policy and procedures manual. I think the Lonnie had written up, and I think it was distributed. If you were at the board meeting, you would have gotten a copy. But we can certainly get copies to the audit staff, maybe the audit committee.
Mr. Chair, Mary Berg on the staff.
Yes, Mary, go ahead. Well, does that answer your question, Ted?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, okay. And Mary, go ahead, please.
Well, that's all. Okay. I don't recall that we got something. There was something given out in some context that from 95, but I have not seen the new policies and procedures manual that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. The one that was distributed at the board meeting was revised effective August 2005. It was prepared by Lonnie Hicks, Chief Financial Officer, and it was marked draft.
And it was in our packet?
It was in the
packet,
that large binder.
Yeah, I'm checking.
Terry?
Yes, Terry. Before I call on Terry, Ben, you will make that available to members of this committee, is that right?
Yes. If someone could send me a complete list of those people that are going to be or who are current members right now.
That's right. And do you want email or snail mail addresses?
Email would be great. I can just attach it to the PDF file.
Yeah, good.
If someone could give me a list of all those current members that are going to be on the audit committee, I can certainly give them that information.
We will definitely get that to you.
Okay, great.
Mary Bergen, the stack again. I have my green manual in front of me. There is no such thing in it.
Yeah, I don't see it either.
Okay, we're going to actually move ahead with Terry's comment, and I have Ben's, it's BENG@pacifica.org is your email, and we'll get you a list of the email addresses of this committee.
Thank you.
The chair recognizes that Terry.
The chair handled my comment already. Maybe Ken or Ted has the draft resolution I sent out from Donna Warren, passed by the KPFK LSB for Ross's comment.
Yeah, I have it here.
That'll work.
Should we want to move to that?
Well, we're out of time anyway, Mr. Chair. We just ran out of time, so we
okay.
Might as well.
The chair would entertain a motion to extend this for 5 minutes.
So moved.
Any objection to that extension? Okay, Ross, this has to do with auditing at stations rather than at the national office. And I believe it was Ken, was it Ken,
yeah,
who asked for this? Now, Ken, do you have Donna Warren's motion?
I said you had it. You don't have
no,
it.
I do have it. I just don't want to preempt it. Okay, here's a motion that was never, in, I believe it was presented to a local LSB, KPFK, and the motion is, be it resolved that the KPFK LSB direct its PNB directors to push for the PNB to search for and hire a full-time internal auditor at a comparable salary plus benefits for all five sister stations to visit each station on a regular basis to ensure the accounting systems of the stations are adequate to perform annual incurred costs and to perform specific cost audits as needed. That was passed by KPFK LSB, and the question, Ross, really is, when you were asked in Washington, you know, how much, like, local station auditing you do, you said, you know, there's some, but it was difficult to go to all five stations and do complete audits. We'd like your input on possibly having another auditor who focuses on the stations.
Okay. First of all, to clarify my comments at the national board meeting, we will select usually two stations to do field audit work as part of the annual audit each year. It would be prohibitively expensive to do full field audits at all five stations every year. But that doesn't mean that we do not do audit work on all five stations each year. We do. We just do it utilizing the national finance staff. They are very actively making document requests and in communication with the business managers at each of the stations. We are receiving that information and doing our tests of transactions and doing our confirmations and doing our audit work, just utilizing the national staff to make it very efficient. So there is an extensive amount of audit work done. It's just not done physically present at each station with a lot of time involved. The other comment is there is an individual in the accounting staff that I believe is already involved in doing internal auditing and is very good at it. That's Alvin Yip, and he is a CPA, I believe, and he is capable of doing internal audit work. You do have that individual available. I don't know, you know, I'm not going to comment on who should be doing what and how to manage your resources. But in terms of the engaging someone to do internal auditing, is the proposal to actually hire a staff person or to engage an outside firm, or what is the proposal?
I would assume it would be to engage an outside firm, right? To an
outside
individual.
Mary Berg on the stack here. Yes.
Yes.
To do that.
In fact, let's go to Mary Berg. Go ahead.
The intention was to hire outside, to have someone from outside, and it didn't have to be a firm for the whole, for all stations. At each station, it would be somebody local to the station. Was the idea, as I remember our discussing it. We never got it anywhere, but
that's not what the wording of the proposal is.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, I think that the wording I heard would allow for either interpretation. I don't think that it says there would be.
I'm reading from it. Hire a full-time internal auditor. That means someone on the payroll.
Yeah, I didn't say they wouldn't be on the payroll, but it didn't say that they would. I mean, I don't know that it was one firm for all five stations.
Well, the motion calls for someone to visit all five sister stations. So it would be someone who would not be stationed necessarily at a station. I mean, could be, I guess.
In an area.
This is Ben Garcia. Ross Wisdom did mention Alvin Yip, and that is what we had planned for Alvin to do. I mean, he is a CPA. He would be visiting the stations and again, auditing each station. Well, he does that currently now anyway. We go through the formal audit with Ross, but also he audits the what is happening at each of the stations as far as like any AP items that, or discrepancies, or you know, between the subsidiary ledger and the regular general ledger, or any kind of items that do you know, appear as they need attention. He does that currently, and he communicates with the business managers on those bases. So again, we were planning on doing that in the future, as again sending him to the stations to do some forms of audit at each one.
Point of information.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Is Alvin then? He's what, supervised by Lonnie? Is that correct?
Correct.
Hello.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So in other words, he's already part of the existing internal
staff.
Finance, the CFO's staff, and so forth.
Correct.
So I think it's inappropriate to consider that an auditing function, even though in fact, you know, he is checking up on the books, but audit suggests an entity outside of the existing financial structure of the organization. So anyway,
well,
that's my
okay.
Point.
Okay.
Well,
Let me comment on that.
Yes. There's really the, you know, the word audit is used in lots of different contexts. The audit that I do as an independent outside auditor is quite different than the work that an internal auditor would do. For example, you have a typical internal auditor would be at a hotel situation where they're doing internal audits every day. Internal auditing has to do with compliance with management's policies and procedures. The Sarbanes-Oxley Act did deal with this issue in terms of what do you do when you have this internal conflict where you have, let's say management, for example, it could be part of the problem, for example, Enron. Then what do you do to address that? Well, that was part of one of the reasons for an audit committee to be established, and they had whistleblower provisions to be provided in there. You might want to take a look at the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, and you might want to follow some of those guidelines. That does address that issue of what do you do if you've got internal auditing, say, being under the thumb of management, and you're concerned that if there's a problem, you would never you'd never find it that way. You can certainly always go out to an outside auditor and bring them in, but to rely on outside auditors to perform the internal auditing function would be very inefficient, and they're not the best suited to do that. I wouldn't, you know, even though I've got lots of qualifications, I wouldn't be the best person to go around to the stations and do internal auditing, because really you want to use that for training purposes. You want to work with the business manager. You want to do it on kind of a friendly basis, not an adversarial basis. We're saying, you know, here's what worked very well at KPFA. We like to, the audit committee has determined that certain things should be very uniform across the network, and I'm here to help you and to train you, and let's do things better at each station, that sort of thing. Now, of course, if you come across things which are an inherent problem, or let's say there's a problem between the business manager and the station manager, and that could be a real kind of an audit problem, well, you would like to have that internal auditor reporting back to the audit committee. So that person or individual, you would have an access to, you'd be included in the loop, and it wouldn't just be a strictly situation of management. You might have a dispute. You might have a dispute between management at the station level and
point of information
at the national level, and that's where this internal audit function could be reporting back to the audit committee. And then you would take whatever action you deem necessary, including a recommendation to the board or bringing in some sort of outside auditing or investigation or whatever. But
all right.
I wanted to clarify the difference between the use of the word internal audit and outside auditor, and
yes.
I hope this has helped.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I have a point of information behind
this other
one.
Excuse me.
And I also want to let you know that the time has elapsed, and I'd like to move that we extend time an additional 5 minutes.
Right, 2 points. One, we're actually combining two agenda items, so we're taking time from 5B, which
right.
is pertaining to Donna Warren, and so we're not losing as much time as we think. Before we go to that, you wanted to extend for how long?
For another 5 minutes, Mr. Chair.
5 minutes. Is there any objection? And that will be the last extension,
I
believe.
You can't say that, Mr. Chair.
No, I can't. We can't, but I'm hoping it is because...
Okay.
we have to relinquish this line.
We know. Don't repeat. Wasting time.
Well, I'm not even going to respond to that. You know, I'm just not going to respond to that. Okay, is there any objection to extending for 5 minutes? Hearing none. Berthold, go ahead.
Well, the point of information was, wasn't that the idea, wasn't that what the whole thing about the Sabinowski Act was about, that internal audit, or actually external auditors, being hired by management, you know, there was an inherent conflict of interest. So what you're saying is that internal auditor would be reporting to the board of directors auditing committee, which is us. But I think also what you failed to point out here is that person should also be hired by us, so that person is beholden to us and not to the, you know, to the CFO or anyone like that.
Well, there's a separation in management function. The audit committee is not a part of management. It's a representation of the board. It has a duty and responsibility to review internal audit functions conducted by the staff of the organization for the purpose of giving board consideration and approval to policies and procedures, to review the process, to report back to the board, to make recommendations, and to help formulate and implement the agreed upon policies and procedures. But don't get confused between management and board. You know, the board of directors at Pacifica, they don't, you know, they're not charged with running the organization. The board has the ultimate authority, though, so... You know, I think you need to have the information flowing to the audit committee. You don't need to have the audit committee doing the auditing necessarily.
All right, there was a point of information.
Mr. Chair, I had previously asked for a point of information.
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Wisdom, my question is about possible conflicts between governance decisions affecting budgeting and the actual budget. Does the auditing process in any way check for that? Could it be asked to check for that, or is it totally irrelevant to the auditing process?
Okay. May I follow this up with another question before he answers? This is Ted.
Well, if Ross can answer both questions at the same time, go ahead.
Yeah, my question is, we just heard from the national staff that they have somebody who is on staff who is going to presumably be doing some of this kind of work. What I was wondering is if there would have to be some kind of a paper trail, if an audit committee would be looking for a paper trail that would identify that there's actually somebody on the national staff who either specifically or in general is assigned this kind of a task. And if there is no indication of the fact that there has been some collaboration between the board and management, would that be something that an audit committee would say, hey, you're spending money in a way that is inconsistent with what we have previously, the board has previously assigned the national staff to do?
Go ahead, Ross.
All right. I'm not sure I understand the questions. I'll address as best I can, and then please let me know if I'm gone off track. The budgeting process versus the auditing process. As part of the audit, we do comparisons between actual and budget, look for explanations of differences. That helps us plan and perform the audit. We do make inquiries about the budgeting process. It's important for us to understand the budgeting process and basically to highlight areas that could be a problem in the audit, and also to make recommendations to management if there are problems between budget and actual, or some sort of inherent problem. I don't know if that answers that question, though. The other question, use of resources. The internal auditing function is a proper function of the National Finance Office. Whether there's a paper trail and how the use of resources are being used, I think that those are very proper inquiries of this audit committee to find out what's being done, what kind of reports, and how much time is being devoted to it, and there should be some sort of a cost-benefit relationship between internal auditing work and the organization. And that's a very proper role for the audit committee to play in supervising that function. I don't know if I've answered your question.
You have for me. This is Ted, and I thank you.
Yes. Now, timekeeper, have we exhausted our time for this agenda
item? We have 20 seconds left.
20
point,
seconds.
Point of information?
Go ahead, Terry.
Ben Garcia, what is Alvin Yip's job title?
I think it's an internal auditor.
Thank you.
We're out of time.
We're out of time. There were other things we were going to report from Washington, but this has been really valuable, and I noticed in the report that in responding to Donna Warren's, you called for a closer relationship with the audit committee, and that you were really sounded like you weren't really satisfied with your relationship with this committee. So I think this is going to start maybe a new and better relationship. We'll certainly stay in closer touch through the chair of the committee or a designated person.
Point of information.
Go ahead,
Mr. Chair. Since what Mr. Wisdom has said is so valuable, and I am the secretary, along with Carolyn. Is that right? No, Mary.
No, Mary.
I am wondering if when we have something that is reasonably close to what we think is accurate, if we can bypass the chair and email the section of the minutes that pertains to his comments so that he can accurately edit them and send them back to the secretary before it's forwarded on to the chair and then onto the appropriate channels. Therefore,
okay, I'm just going to ask: is there any objection to that proposal?
Mary
this
Bergen
pertains
staff.
Only to the minutes of this meeting.
Mary Bergen, the staff.
Go ahead.
I would like to know what Ross Wisdom thinks of this. Is this some time? Would it be billable time? Would it be, what would he be expected to do? I'd kind of like to hear from Ross on that.
Well, I'm billing you for the time of this phone call at $200 an hour, which is my nonprofit rate. I would be billing to, if it's not, you know, more than like 10 or 15 minutes or so, I may not even bill for it to look at an email and respond if the minutes were accurate in terms of my comments. But, yes,
that's my intention. If he would take more than 15 minutes, then I would say forget it and don't. We'll go to the tape recording of the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
All right. Is there, does that clarify, Mary, is there any objection to that proposal? And it seems inherently to say that it would be a very brief response, if at all. Hearing no objection, then that will be allowed by this committee. I noticed in the report that you made your annual billing to KPF, to the Pacific Foundation, is about $82,000, I think. So auditing, especially if we were going to hire an internal auditor full-time, clearly auditing can run up to be a pretty major expense. Okay, and thank you, Ross, very much for being a part of this, and you're welcome to stay on the line, but we're going to move the agenda now.
And if he stays, he has to do it on his own dime.
Right, on his own dime.
That's right. And if you're highly entertained, we may bill you for just that.
Okay. Enough, but I'm afraid I will be leaving the call soon.
Oh, gee, we're not that entertaining.
Oh, boy. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Ross.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night. Bye-bye.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I hope someone kept time. Okay, let's go to the next item, which I believe, because Rob Robinson is not here, we have some pending items which I think we should postpone until Rob is on the call. Seems like it's a... Go ahead, please.
According to the way we revised the agenda, the next item on the agenda is item 7.
Yeah, that's right.
Elections
item 7,
that's
item 9.
That's absolutely right. That's exactly what I was going to say. Next item would be nominations and elections of permanent committee chair and secretary, and also a process for electing those individuals. Should we get nominations first and then Go ahead, please.
I think first we nominate the chair. The process that we've been using is simply that the secretary mails out ballots.
Yes.
And we send the ballots by mail back. So the process has already been defined.
Great. And that will
have to decide on what the dates are. But first, I suggest we nominate for chair, and then we nominate for secretary.
I agree.
Ken Freeland on the stack.
Go ahead, please, Ken.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would like to suggest that if it should happen that there is not more than one nominee for the position, that we accept acclamation and dispense with the election, if that's legally possible, and I think it is.
Mary Berg here, point of order.
Go ahead, Mary.
I think that makes eminent sense, and I have tried to suggest it, but I am always told that we have to do it anyway. Now, if
I think the bylaws dictate, maybe.
No, it's how you want to interpret the Robert's rules and the bylaws.
I know that, of course. That's how you
can
interpret.
Find a convincing way, I'd be the first to think it was wonderful because I think it's ridiculous.
Okay, let's do this. Let's go. I'm going to open the nominations for chair of this committee.
Mary Berg, I nominate Don White.
Don White. Another nomination.
Ted Weisko, I'll nominate Ken Freeland.
I decline, thank you.
Ken declines. More nominations, please, if there are. I'm going to nominate Bertolt Reimers. Are there other nominations? Going once, other nominations for chair twice, three times. Okay, nominations are closed.
Okay, cool.
Oh, go ahead, please.
I'd like to nominate Ted Weisko.
Ted, okay. Mm-hmm. Three individuals have been nominated. Are there any other nominations? Going once, twice. Nominations are closed for chair and nominations for secretary.
I think we should do the first before we do the second.
I agree.
Point of order.
Well, wait a moment. Just before we go ahead, I don't think we can do the first because we can't vote on the phone.
We
I think
we
there,
send out ballots.
Yeah, we have That's to send out ballots. So we have three individuals nominated for chair. And now we're going to open nominations for secretary.
Ken Freeland?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I move that we postpone the nominations for permanent secretary until we resolve the question of who is elected chair, because any of those people nominated for chair may wish to serve as secretary in the event they're not elected as chair. I move to postpone the question until next meeting.
Okay, I'm going to treat this as a motion. Is there a second?
Wait, excuse me. One moment.
Did you say that in committees you don't need a second?
That's correct, okay. Mr. Chair.
All right. Then is there discussion of the motion?
Terry.
Mary and Terry, go ahead.
Yeah, this has not been done before, and it just delays the thing so long because it has to be by mail, and if there's anyone who was nominated who was interested in being the secretary, they might speak up at this time, and then they might decide which one they want to run for, but I really don't want to postpone it, so I'm speaking against this motion. It's just going to make things very complicated.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to motivate my motion, please.
Okay. Because there's been a statement against, I'm going to take a statement for, and then we'll go to Terry as the third speaker. Okay, go ahead.
Well, Mr. Chair, since we didn't have any trouble getting volunteers to serve as secretary, I don't see that we will in the future have volunteer difficulty if there were a need, and I don't think that there's any problem in having a volunteer secretary until... we're sure that somebody who's willing to make the commitment is available to do the job. So it seems to me that we're not hurt at all by postponing that particular decision until the following week, knowing that by that time we will have a permanent chair and no doubt another volunteer secretary for another meeting, and then we can move on to have a permanent secretary. I don't see that there's a major issue there, and
okay, thank
as long
you.
As somebody's willing to take responsibility.